Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today it's our Friday teaching series centered on the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide, based, of course, on Bob's book of the same title. Both the book and the study guide are available at basicgospel.net. Just click the Simple Gospel book link at the top of the homepage and order yours today. But right now, time to get underway with today's study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're continuing through chapter 13, and I love the title of this chapter. It's called Living a Sunday Life in a Friday World, yeah. And it comes from a sermon by S.M. Lockridge many years ago.
Right.
It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, one of the most moving sermons I've ever heard, and we talked about that last week. But we live in a world. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. We've been forgiven. We've been made righteous. We've been made holy. We've been made alive together with Christ. God has sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. Mm-hmm. As Paul said in Romans 6, we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, if we're going to live this new life, it's going to be in this crazy world where we're stuck for now.
I like crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. It's chaotic. It's topsy-turvy. It's every adjective that
indeed
you can describe. And it's not a friendly place to Christianity. It's not a friendly place to the Christian life. The way of the world is a way that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. It's a world in which selfishness reigns, selfish ambition, just live for your own fleshly desires. That's the world in which we live in. So if you're gonna live a new life, that's the climate, that's the
right
atmosphere, that's the culture that you're gonna have to live it in. Now, this new life is a life that is lived by grace through faith, and that's foreign to us,
yeah.
And that's what we have to learn to get familiar with. It's a part of our new DNA,
mm-hmm.
But we have this imprint of the world still in these members of ours. So there's going to be a conflict. We just have to keep pushing through it, and as we do, we'll become more and more familiar with this new way of life, which is lived by grace through faith. Now, that's in contrast to living according to the law. God has put the law in place for a purpose, and that's what we're going to look at today. What was the real reason that God gave the law to the people of Israel through Moses? And we all know the story. We've talked about it a number of times, that when God set the people free, when he delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, he parted the sea. There was this miracle that occurred. They all walked across on dry land. As soon as they got to the other side, the waters came crashing down on the Egyptian armies, and they were saved. They had been delivered once and for all. Well, they go to a place called Mount Sinai. They camp out there. Moses goes up on top of the mountain. He meets with the angel of the Lord, and God gives to Moses the law, this covenant, this old covenant. And Moses comes down with it, and he says, this is what God has commanded. And he says that if you will obey the commands and follow the statutes, he will be your God, and you will be his people. And they said, all that you have said, Lord, we will do.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly right. Then Moses sacrificed some animals, and they sprinkled the blood on the people and everything. And then that old covenant was ratified. It went into effect, and it was a covenant between God and the people of Israel. It was a contract. God had terms and conditions. The people had terms and conditions. And if the people were not going to obey, then they were going to violate that covenant. And that was their history. They lived in violation of that covenant from start all the way until Jesus fulfilled it once and for all, mm-hmm. through his life, through his death.
Yeah.
So now that law, lots of times we look at it and say, since God gave it, then we need to live by it. It is our rule of life. Well, that's not this new way, this new life that God has raised us to live.
No.
And why? Because the law does not have the power invested in it to enable us to live out its righteous requirements. It just simply states, here's what you need to do, and if you don't, you're in violation, and here's the punishment. Yeah. It gives us the knowledge of sin. And so that's the real reason that God gave the law. And once we recognize that, once we understand it, then we can leave it where it is and grab hold of this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, a number of years ago, I got a call from my sister Gina, and she said mom was having some difficulties breathing, and they took her in, and they scheduled an angiogram. They wanted to see what was going on with her heart. And so I was glad Gina called, and it was helpful for me knowing what was really going on with mom. But we weren't sure because the angiogram hadn't been done yet.
Sure.
Well, that was scheduled the next day. Well, mom got up and went to her appointment. In the meantime, I was out here. We had some friends of the ministry that were in town from California, and they had invited me to go play a round of golf with them. So I went, and I think we were on hole number 10 or hole number 11, and I get a call from my sister Lisa, and Lisa said they've just finished the angiogram. They saw on the angiogram that mom had almost a 100% blockage in a couple of her veins, and they were rushing her to the operating room.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that serious. Well, I unraveled like a cheap sweater and knew I needed to kind of leave the golf course and see if I could get to Georgia to be with mom as quickly as I could. Now, why do I tell this story? Well, because the angiogram, the purpose of the angiogram is a lot like the purpose of the law. The angiogram could not cure mom.
Mm-hmm.
Mom had no earthly idea what was going on inside of her. She simply knew something was not quite right. She was struggling breathing. She had pain and tightness in her chest. She knew something was going on. The angiogram wasn't going to fix that. The angiogram simply revealed the problem.
Yeah.
It showed the physicians, it showed mom, it showed the entire medical team what was going on inside mom's heart. Well, if she was going to get cured, then she was going to have to submit herself to the physicians who could cure her.
Right.
So the angiogram diagnosed the problem. It wasn't the cure. It had no power to fix mom. The doctors did. And so she submitted herself to the doctors. They took her into the operating room. They performed surgery. They fixed that heart. And she recovered and is doing great today. Well, that's the law. That's what the law does for you and me. We go under the law. It judges us. It takes a look at what's going on inside of us. And when we see what it reveals, we see that we are a mess. We see that we are sinners in need of a Savior.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to be saved, the law, it doesn't have the ability to save us. It doesn't have the power to make us righteous. It doesn't have the power to impart life to us. All it can do is show us what we need. And once it does, its purpose has been fulfilled. Its purpose has been satisfied. Now we can turn to Christ and receive life.
Yeah.
So what does the law reveal to us? It reveals to us that we are dead, that we are sinners, that we are in need of forgiveness, that we're in need of life. Where are we going to get those things? Well, in Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. So when we receive Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins. When we receive Jesus, we're made alive together with him. Just as he was raised from the dead physically, we're raised from the dead spiritually, raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, we see the purpose of the law. Paul, in the letter of Galatians, He is addressing a problem that was happening in that province. He had delivered the good news of Jesus Christ. He had told the people of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They responded to that. And then Paul left. He went to other places to carry the good news to other people waiting to hear about the love of Christ. Well, when he left, there were people that came in behind him. Judaizers is what they are known as, and they are people that came from Jerusalem and who are saying to the Gentiles, if you want to really be a part of the family of God, then you need to follow the customs of Moses. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow the law. Well, and it was in that letter where Paul gave the real purpose of the law, and he asked the question in Galatians 3, why the law then? And he says it was added because of transgressions. It was to show us our need for Christ. It was a guardian, and that guardian was to be in place until faith would come.
Right.
So what is the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is diagnostic. It is to show us our need for Jesus Christ. Once it's done that, it steps aside so that Christ can do his work and save us by grace through faith.
Yeah.
And then once he saves us, that same system is in place as far as our new life is concerned. It is a life lived by grace through faith. That's what resurrection life is all about.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, that's a great illustration. Kind of scary at the outset, but, you know, the result was great. And so when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like that surgery that we get of the heart, and it makes us all new. So
that's exactly right.
Great illustration. Thank you. Now, friends, this is Basic Gospel. It's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, our Friday study series today. And we invite you to help support this media ministry, this media outreach called Basic Gospel. It is a true blessing to know that what you give through this ministry plays a part in the lives of those who call or write and get an answer that helps them understand what has been freely given to us all in and by Jesus Christ. Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and to keep the good news coming, we need your ongoing support. Your gift today will help to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's grace in the Lord Jesus. And to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel, we want to send you a copy of a terrific resource by Bob Christopher. It's called The New Covenant Journey, and what a journey it is. Bob produced this study to help you understand the depth of meaning of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Covenant Journey. Request your copy when you make your March gift to Basic Gospel. Well, now back to the author of this New Covenant Journey and our study today, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we're on page 96 in our Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. And at the very top, we ask this question, what does Galatians 3, verses 24 through 25 say is the purpose of the law? So let me just read that for us. And Paul says this, the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Mm-hmm. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So what was the purpose of the law? It served as a guardian. It served as a tutor or a teacher. And it held us in place until faith would come.
Right.
I've said as well that it serves almost like a prison warden. The warden makes sure we're safe behind the bars until a time where we can be set free to experience kind of a new life.
Right.
Well, that's the way it was for us. We come into this world under the condemnation of the law of sin and death, and the law guards us, keeps us in place, keeps us imprisoned to sin until faith would come. But once faith has come, has the purpose of the law been fulfilled for you? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. The law has done its work. Once that faith has come into your life, you have responded to the good news of Jesus Christ by grace through faith. The law has done its work. The law is done with you. You're done with the law. Now you're free. You've walked out of that prison cell. Now you're free to enjoy this relationship with Christ Jesus. So that was the message that Paul gave to the people in the province of Galatia. And then once those folks came behind Paul and said, no, 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 this is what you need to do, then they kind of changed their thinking. So Paul had some very harsh words in Galatians 3, verse 1. He said, you foolish Galatians. And then he asked some rhetorical questions. He said this, even though they had started with the Spirit, how are they trying to finish according to Galatians 2, 2 and 3? And he said they were trying to finish through human effort, through works of the flesh. So they had received the Spirit by hearing and believing, and now they were trying to perfect themselves by their own understanding, by their own human effort. Now, here's what we need to know. Law as a rule of life rests squarely on the shoulders of human effort. If God put a law up there and says, this is what you need to do in order to make yourself righteous, then who has to do it? Well, you do. Well, how capable were you of doing that? Well, not very capable. You failed. I failed. That's why the Bible says we've all missed the mark. We are all sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. But after coming to Christ, if we try to bring the law back, what's going to happen to us? What's the experience that we're going to have? Well, the book of Galatians gives us a number of passages that tells us, and we're going to go through these very quickly. So if you try to take hold of the law as your way of life, here's what you're going to find out happens. In chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, I'm astonished you're deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ Jesus. In verse 6 again, he says you are turning to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. You are taking your eyes off of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and you're putting it on a different message, and you're saying it's through this message that I'm going to experience the fullness of the Christian life. Well, when you do that, you're going to become confused. That's what Paul tells us in Galatians 1:7. In verse 10 of chapter 1, he says that you will be trying to please men rather than serving God. Yeah. Now, and that's exactly what the Galatians were doing. These people came in, they spoke with authority, they said, if you really want to be a part of the people of God, you need to become like us and do the things that we do. And so they compromised and began to please them rather than serving God and standing firm in their position in Christ. Yeah. They became fearful of others instead of having the confidence to respond to the love of God. Fear became the motivation in their lives. It started to divide the body. And that's what happens when we put law as the rule of life. It becomes a wall of hostility, and it divides people, and that's what it was doing. It forces you to be hypocritical, to hide the true nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 14, it says, if you're gonna take up a different message other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, then your actions are not going to be in line with the truth of the gospel. You're going to set aside the grace of God, chapter 2, verse 21. You're going to turn back to weak and miserable forces, chapter 4, verse 9. You're going to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, chapter 5, verse 1. You're going to use your freedom to indulge the flesh, verse 13 of chapter 5. You're going to be involved in backbiting and devouring one another. Yeah. That's why this rule of law, trying to live the Christian life through obedience to the law, is not the way that God set in place. The way that he set in place is by grace through faith. Yeah. And when we operate in that realm, by grace through faith, we're going to experience the love of Christ, and we're going to pass on the love of Christ to others. So human effort didn't work out so well for the Galatians. It doesn't work out for us either. No. We have been saved by grace. God has sent his Spirit to take up residence inside of us, and it is through the Spirit of God that we are enabled to live out who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, Romans 7, 6 says this, "As a result, you died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another. Now you serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code." So what's this new life all about? How do we serve as believers in Christ? We serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. So this new way of life is a life of faith. It is a life that is led by and empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, that's why Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that we are to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. So what is Paul's encouragement to you concerning how you are to live as a child of God according to Galatians 5:16? Well, you're to live or walk according to the Spirit. That's living a Sunday life in a Friday world.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. It is a life led by the Spirit. It is a walk in the Spirit. So what is the result of walking by the Spirit? The result of that is you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, that's good news.
Yeah.
We always try to fight against those desires of the flesh. And that's where we sometimes take up rules and regulations. We double down on that. You know, we try to restrict ourselves even more so that we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. But according to Paul in his letter to the Colossians, he said do not handle, do not taste, do not touch,
right,
does not work. Those have an appearance of wisdom, but they do nothing as far as eliminating the desires of the flesh.
Sinful indulgence.
The only way that we can do that is by walking in the Spirit. So your mind, your focus needs to be on being led by the Spirit, living out what the Spirit is doing in your life. Now, you can be sure that God's Spirit will never lead you into sin. God's Spirit is going to lead you down the path of righteousness. That's just what the Spirit of God is going to do. So I gave this illustration in the book about a GPS.
Yeah.
And I love this illustration, but this is how the Holy Spirit works inside of us. He has the destination. He knows where he's going to take us, and he knows how to get us there. Now, sometimes we get turned left or right away from the path because of worldly temptations or fleshly desires. Now, when that happens, when we take a wrong turn, the Spirit of God doesn't berate us. He doesn't judge us. He doesn't yell at us. He simply recalculates.
Yeah.
Our wrong turn doesn't prevent him from getting us to the destination. That's the wonder of God's Spirit living inside of us. So we may make a wrong turn, but God's Spirit knows how to recalculate. And get us back on the path of righteousness. That's why we can look at this saying, you know, all things work together for good.
Absolutely.
That God's Spirit is going to lead us from start to finish. Let's trust him to do so. And as we do, we will experience the full measure of living a Sunday life in a Friday world.
That's a great expression, Bob. Thank you. And what a great lesson this has been. Friends, we hope you've been here and enjoying and being edified by this. And I want to remind you to get your copy of the study guide. Just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website. That, of course, is basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join Bob online Sunday morning for Sunday Morning Live. That's 9:30 Central, a link to Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net.